What an awesome thing to be in Christ at such a time as this. You know, you just get those profound... Noah, have you got something you want to... Yeah, come on up. Yeah. This is church as normal. It's just we're in a whole bunch of small groups right now.
Look, the Lord gave me a scripture this morning, and it was Isaiah 43:19, and I just wanted to share it in the Passion Translation, you know, and I thought it's so relevant for now, where he says, let me just find it, 43, oh gosh, where are we? Hang on, where are we? He says, I am doing something brand new. I just love it because he is doing something brand new. He says, can you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the desert. Wild beasts, jackals, and owls will glorify me, for I supply streams of water in the desert and rivers in the wilderness to satisfy the thirst of my people, my chosen ones, so that you, whom I have shaped and formed for myself, will proclaim my praise. And I just really felt that it was so relevant. It's like, look, what's happening has never been done before. And he's saying, you know, I'm doing something so new. And he's saying, I'm awakening the body of Christ for such a time as this, where he's saying, it is now time to arise and shine. And he said, things are not going to be the same. Things are going to be different. But he says, I am coming back to a glorified body, and it's like, and we are the body, and it's like, so he's saying it's not time to be preoccupied with the coronavirus and any other virus that has been unleashed on the earth. He's saying, because I'm doing something brand new in the body of Christ, and he's saying it's now time to rise up and to praise me like you've never praised me before, because I tell you what, it's going to open doors that no man can close, and he's going to close doors that no man can open in these days. So I just wanted to share that, and I just want to encourage you, you know, you out there who are watching, it's like, lift up the name of the Lord. I tell you what, do not let fear grip your heart. I tell you what, let faith take a hold of you. It's like, lift up the name of the Lord, because I tell you what, it's his name that will be magnified upon the face of the earth, and he's going to cause rivers to flow in dry places. It's like, where you may have been in a wilderness, he's saying, I'm coming to meet with you. And it's like, even those things that have been opposing you are going to have to bow the knee and worship the Lord in these days. Hallelujah.
Amen. Good word. Just keeping my bottle lit open here. Fantastic. Well, we're going to proceed with just some of the things I need to announce a little bit, and then we'll get into some word this morning. Just want to greet all the home hubs and everybody else who's watching, either individually or maybe you've just come on, maybe you've just figured out your technology and you've just come on. God bless you. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. As a friend said, Todd Weatherly, he was going to welcome his church this morning by saying, well, what a year this week's been. What a year this week has been. How quickly things can change. We're getting along with life. There's a whole lot of normalities, and suddenly things are changing. You know, the amazing thing is that as the family of God, we don't have to be rattled the way the world is often rattled. It doesn't mean that we're not wise. It doesn't mean that we're not keeping an eye on things that actually need to be have an eye kept on. But we're not rattled in the sense that this world is our only hope, and that this natural dimension of life is our only hope. We are people whose citizenship is in the eternal kingdom of God. We've got a heavenly passport, so we don't have to be rattled. But what a year this week has been. Todd, if you hear this, just, that's a good saying, my friend. I want to thank all the team for their flexibility. Grant and Ruth Kath, the worship team, Simone. Thank all the guys on the live streaming. Thank you for your flexibility, your willingness to serve and to serve the family of God. We just want to thank you so much. Obviously, churches all up and down the nation, in fact, all over the Western world in many regards, are just scrambling, if you like, to develop their live streaming. But praise God, we started developing the live streaming, what, 3 or 4 years ago. And Simone has been a big help in that area. Thank you so much. And this week, the team, the staff and the team in Living Waters, we're going to be focusing on enhancing and building our communication, all of our communication systems, our ability to communicate with you and get information to you, ways to be able to help you stay connected, to get everything we need to get out to you, to enhance the small group situation or development, and to create a range of plans that can basically be initiated in relation to whatever scenario unfolds. So we're not just reacting to something, we're looking at the various possibilities and how we can stay one step ahead of what may be established through government policy. So we especially want to be supportive of our wonderful, amazing senior saints, and because obviously there's recommendations for 70 plus people. I'm not there yet, a little while before I get there. But there's recommendations being made there. But we want to make sure our senior saints, who are some of the most powerful senior saints in the nation, are cared for and connected with and just feel loved and supported. So especially. But also Jackie is working on ways of being able to strategize, helping to parents to bless their children and to help and minister to the children through this time. And you've got something, I think, possibly happening at 11 o'clock today. We're rapidly, with the rapidly changing landscape, we are adaptable because we've always already had a good practice run. We had a great, a very powerful practice run during the earthquakes. And to a degree, for Christchurch people, that set us up in some regards to be able to handle this situation, perhaps with a little bit more confidence because of a previous experience. The issue of the rapidly changing scenario can actually create quite a lot of disorientation for people. We found that during the quake time. People just simply got disorientated into what was normal now. And with this situation as well, there's a number of people who could well become disorientated. I want to tell you that there are several key things that I'm going to share this morning that will help you either be reorientated in the right place or stay orientated. One of the things about rapid change, and governments know this, political parties know this, that if you initiate a lot of change in a short time, the people become disorientated and you can potentially do things that they would not normally agree to in a normal, stable situation. Now, here's one thing I'm going to put out there. I'm not actually that interested in big discussions about conspiracy theories, to be honest with you, because at the end of the day, if whatever conspiracy there may or may not be, I'm actually not going to be doing anything about it anyway, and nor are you. The reality is our focus has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be the gospel. It has to be the kingdom of God, because whatever governments do, for whatever reasons, we need to stay focused on the kingdom of God and how we can flow in rightful authority, which also includes the authority of the land, because the governments of this world are meant to carry the sword. And in this situation, if they're acting rightly, then they're carrying a sword to endeavor to deal with something that's threatening the populations they're called to lead. I wish that would also apply to the unborn. I really do. But nevertheless, with the virus situation, if governments are honestly endeavoring to protect their people from something that could be very dangerous, then we need to actually flow with that. So that's my attitude. So I'm not really interested in conspiracy theories, quite frankly. I've got my own ideas on this, but I'm going to be focused on the Lord, focused on the kingdom of God. So there's three key attitudes I want to share with you. But before we do that, I just want to pray right now. I want to pray right now. Father, I want to thank you for just this word, this opportunity to minister to your beautiful people. I want to thank you, Lord, for the power of your grace, the power of your presence, the power of your glory. I want to thank you, Lord, that we're people of your manifest presence, people who carry your glory. We thank you, Lord, we're people who carry the spirit of resurrection. And Lord, today there'll be an opportunity for anybody who doesn't know Jesus, who hasn't got that assurance of eternal life, who hasn't got that knowledge that they're children of God, dearly loved and dearly cared for. There'll be an opportunity for them today to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to receive you into their hearts, to know a cleansing of conscience from sin, from that guilt and that shame, and to be liberated into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. We want to thank you for your presence here today in every house, in every home, in every place where this is being viewed, either today or in the future. We just thank you for your presence just being released and settling upon every life, every heart right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, normally, right now, we would give opportunity for people to give to the Lord. Give of tithe and offerings. I know many people give by automatic payment, which is wonderful. One of the key things we're going to have to do as the church globally is we're going to have to be watchful that we don't get seduced by fear into moving away from our kingdom financial flow. Regardless of what the world does and says, our kingdom flow is really important. And that kingdom flow in finances is released in the tithe, because remember last week we talked about we're not living under the fear of a curse regarding the tithe. We know that Jesus became the curse for us, but the blessing of the tithe stays in place all the same, because the blessing didn't stop at the cross. Amen? The blessing continues right through the cross. So the tithe and the offerings are key ways to actually stay connected with kingdom flow of finance. So my encouragement to you is, whatever you're able to do in continuing your tithes and the offerings and the way that God would lead, it's really important to do that. Because the enemy would like us to shut down in our sense of our source and our faith, and therefore bring some sort of reducing to the kingdom of God on the earth. I want to tell you, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Amen. So today, if you went to your house group or your small group or your home hub and you had a tithe envelope, that will be collected and that will be passed on to a financial administrator and be processed the normal ways. You will be able to give through the internet. You can go on to our New Life Living LWCC.org page. I think there might be giving details there. You may even be putting something up on the screen, Simone. I'm not sure. You'll be relieved from my face for a moment or two. Janet passes on her love and regard. She's just recovering from what was really a sinus infection, and she's in recovery mode. I'm in recovery mode from basically just a cold, really. So we're just staying isolated a bit because we believe that this is just the right thing to do, to love people and to protect people. So I want to share key three attitudes. You're right with that?
Yeah.
You're right with that, guys?
Yeah.
Three key attitudes. Number one. Through this time, but actually through our whole length of our lifetime, we're to act in love. We're to act in love. Therefore, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 says this. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, ladies included, whatever you want women to do to you, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, because this sums up, some translations say, or this is the law and the prophets. So Jesus condensed all of the commandments that are to do with our behavior toward each other and the way we express righteousness toward each other, and he summed them up in this wonderful, what some people call the golden rule or the great love principle. He summed it up like this: whatever you would have people to do to you, do that also for other people. And I believe that this is a time when this principle, if this value, if this understanding is rooted in our hearts or founded in our lives, and we act in this way, we're not going to put other people at risk of something that we may actually be afflicted of in that time. Here's my attitude in this, and this is my recommendation. If I am unwell for whatever reason, especially with a communicable disease or virus, my best act of love is actually to withdraw from close association with people, get into the Word, get into worship, just feed myself, spirit, soul, and body. Trust the Lord who is healer always. Jesus is always Jehovah Rapha. He's always our healer. And press in and receive that inheritance. Look after our bodies, care for ourselves, nurture ourselves, get the rest needed, and get into a place of health and healing. Then we can get out amongst people and minister the love of God to people. If I, for some reason, have the idea that if I've got something that could be caught by other people, but I think that their faith should be the thing that... Sorry, I moved out of the camera. If I put the responsibility on other people to protect themselves from what I might be afflicted by in that day or in that week, then what I'm doing is I'm shifting the responsibility away from myself to act in love, and I'm actually putting the burden on them to endeavor to stand in faith or do whatever they do need to do to actually minimize the flow of anything from me to them. It's actually inappropriate. It is actually a shift of responsibility that I think could actually be illegal in the spirit. So Jesus said, whatever you would like people to do to you or for you, do that for them. This sums up the law and the prophets. So if you have got some illness in your body, get into a place where you can nurture yourself, rest up, feed yourself well, feed yourself in the word, surround yourself in good worship, build your faith up, receive that healing. It might take a minute, it might take a day, it might take a week. But press into the Lord, get well, get healed. Then you can get out among people and love them and be that river of life to them that they really need. They don't need a river of virus. They don't need a river of bacteria. You hear what I'm saying? They need a river of life. So this is not a faith issue so much, this is a love issue. That's my earnest recommendation to you. So remember Matthew 7, verse 12. Number two. Stay in peace. Jesus is our peace. Jesus has a profound level of peace for us that is a dimension of peace that the world doesn't understand. Some of you are walking in that dimension of peace, and other people are being confounded by the sense of rest, by the sense of peace that you have. And it may be interpreted as being blasé. Blasé. This term blasé is where you don't actually care about anything and you don't care about other people, so you're just blasé. You're not taking any responsible precautions, you're just blasé. Well, I'm not talking about being blasé. I'm talking about being at peace. I'm not talking about being blasé, I'm talking about being in peace. I'm talking about the peace of God, the love of God, the peace of God that fills us, the peace that the world doesn't understand, filling us. How do we stay in peace? Jesus did this. When the guys were with the disciples were in that room, and the door was shut, the door was locked. Jesus had not long been crucified. The stories of him being resurrected were coming through. They'd just heard Mary with her report, but they were still troubled. Jesus came into the room. The door was locked. The walls were made of stone. He came into that room and he breathed on them and he said, my peace I give to you. Jesus has peace. And his peace is communicated through his spirit and through his word. Jesus breathed on them. What was the breath about? The breath was his spirit. The breath was the Holy Spirit that flowed out of him and actually literally manifest peace in the life of the disciples. The peace of God is not an idea. The peace of God is actually a tangible dimension of the power of God that actually releases peace in us that settles our hearts and our minds. I release his peace to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For all who are troubled, for all who will turn their face to Jesus right now, I release that peace to you right now. I release that peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I release that peace. I breathe on you right now. I release that peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ into your soul, into your spirit right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, right now. John chapter 14, verse 27. John chapter 14, verse 27 says this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's interesting that he uses the word let. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Because the bottom line is, we all know that our hearts and minds can be afraid. We can let it be afraid, or we can refocus and receive a supernatural dimension of the love and power of God, which is called peace, which literally transforms our hearts into a place of rest and security. Jesus said, "Peace I leave to you, not as the world gives, but as I give." John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken to you," John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken to you, that it," sorry, that in me, "you may have peace. In the world system, in the world thinking, in the world attitudes, in the world unbelief, in the world rebellion against God, in the world disbelief, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation," and the world is in tribulation right now for a range of reasons. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. "Be anxious for nothing." Be anxious for nothing. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication," which is making your request by actual asking for something, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." So here's the progression. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. It's gonna come to you by prayer. It's gonna come to you by asking. "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Ask for peace. Ask for peace. "Let every request, every concern you have be known to the Lord, and ask for peace." If we don't ask for peace, the peace may not be released. But the encouragement is, ask for peace. Ask for it, and the peace of God will keep our minds, will guard our hearts through Christ Jesus. So every day, be asking for peace. When that worry tries to stir your mind, when trouble tries to stir your mind, ask for peace. Ask for peace. He's got peace, supernatural peace, to give to us. Amen? In times of fear and anxiety, then Brent Douglas says, I'm quoting Brent Douglas and saying this, "In times of fear and anxiety, our minds can create worst-case scenarios." What they do. Our minds, and that's where anxiety goes, that's where fear goes. It tries to create worst case scenarios. And if we dwell on those worst case scenarios, our hearts become faint. There's a beautiful passage that King David wrote in a beautiful psalm, Psalm 27. And King David, the king of Israel, faced many challenges, many things that tried to come against them, but he was an amazing king. An amazing man, amazing worshiper. He had one trouble in an area. We won't talk about that so much now. But here we are in Psalm 27, verse 13. He says this: "I would have lost heart." Other translations say, "I would have fainted. My heart would have fainted. I would have lost heart unless I had believed." What did he need to believe? What did he believe? He believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Isn't that an amazing thing? King David, this great king, the greatest king of Israel, who's mentioned in the scriptures an incredible number of times, he said, "I would have lost heart unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living." I'm believing that we will see and are seeing and manifest in the lives of our friends and believers, fellow believers, the goodness of God in the land of the living. I am totally convinced that we will be seeing and continue to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We are the land of the living. We are in the kingdom of God. This is the land of the living. And we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. This is the day of miracles. This is the day of deliverance. This is a day of ministering life and peace and hope to a confused and anxious world. Our hearts will not faint, and the reason they won't faint is because we will believe, and we do believe, that we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So stay in peace. That's the big issue. Stay in peace. Stay in peace. We have a source of supernatural peace. Number three, staying in peace is a byproduct of staying in faith. Psalm 91 is so wonderfully powerful that Psalm 91, especially verse 1 to 11, is a powerful psalm to take to ourselves and begin to just meditate on it, ponder on it, find songs that sing it, And put your headphones on and listen to them. Just surround yourself and meditate and then create declarations out of Psalm 91, 1 to 11. It is said that during the Second World War that Derek Prince was known to be a man of faith. And it got to the point where people wanted to be on the ship that Derek Prince was on. Because the ship that Derek Prince was on wouldn't get torpedoed. And here's the issue. People recognized that this man was a man of faith, and after a while they realized that whatever ship he was on seemed to get through. I want to tell you, you need people to see that we're people of faith, and they want to be on the same ship we're on. They want to be in the same boat we're in. Amen? So Psalm 91, I'm going to read it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Make this your confession. Make this your prayer. Be a people of faith, not a people of unbelief and fear. Maintain connection. Number four, maintain connection. Your enemy wants your soul isolated. If there's ever a time where people might be tempted to isolate in terms of isolation of soul, now could be that time. It's one thing to isolate the body in order to recover or to whatever, but it's another thing to become isolated of soul. Isolated of soul can cause a lot of damage. But when you're connected of soul, connected of spirit, it's very powerful. Psalm 68, verse 6, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. God sets the solitary in families. If you're part of the family of Living Waters Christian Center, or you don't have a family, you're not connected anyway, I want to tell you, my friend, I invite you to be connected. This is a time to be really well connected, and then stay connected for the rest of your life, in whatever way that means. So I'm inviting you to stay connected. Stay connected through media, stay connected through phone calls, through visits when they're appropriate, whatever that situation is. Stay connected by live stream, stay connected by feeding yourself in the Lord, but most of all, stay connected to the Lord. Don't isolate your soul from the media of heaven. There's a lot of media right now with a lot of fear and various things. We need to listen to some things to know what to do, but the media of heaven has got to be our major feeding source. Don't be isolated from the media of heaven. We'll be working at helping people stay connected, but there is also a responsibility on each person to stay connected. So that's number four. Number five, stay in God's financial flow. I mentioned that a little bit earlier on. I'm going to wrap up with this because I know it's been over a quarter of an hour. Whoever dreamt that up? And, whoever dreamt that up? Philippians 4, verse 15 to 19, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Philippians 4, 15 to 19. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. In other words, the Philippians were the ones that got the revelation on this. Many of the others didn't. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. And this is the powerful principle. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What's Paul saying here? He's not only grateful for the provision, not only grateful for the way he was blessed, but there was an even greater thing in his heart. He was actually very keen to see the people see the increase and the bounty on the seed that they'd sown. He was really interested in what would flow back into their lives, back into their account, because they'd actually opened up a giving and receiving account in the spirit, because they'd partnered with Paul and were giving into his life and giving into his ministry. This is an incredibly powerful principle, and the enemy would like to seduce people away from this understanding right now, because some people might be feeling vulnerable. But here's the situation. Maintain your giving in the kingdom of God as you're able and as you're led by the Spirit. But maintain your giving in the flow of the kingdom, because the issue is God wants to continue that flow back into your life. Maybe your business, maybe your personal finances, maybe your job, whatever that situation is, God wants to maintain that flow into your life. And if we get into a place of fear and we withhold and withdraw, then what happens is we're actually cutting that flow off ourselves. And Paul was very interested that that be maintained and built for the church in Philippi. It's a very, very important thing that we must remember. Lastly, I want to say that we need to look for opportunities for our faith to be shared. Look for opportunities to minister to people, look for opportunities to help people, serve people, connect with people in a way that we can serve them and bless them. There's a river of life in us, church. There's the glory of God in us. There's the spirit of resurrection in us. That spirit needs to be released, not to be held back and withheld at this point. I want to tell you, it's a very powerful time we're in. It's harvest now, church. It's harvest now. We got our harvest now. Schooling by the skin of our teeth, so to speak. We got all the speakers back home safely. There were miracles, especially for Ben Hughes to get him back into America. There were miracles that happened that enabled him to get home. And so we are really pleased. But here's the deal. That was a prophetic statement. It's harvest now. Just because this has unfolded hasn't changed that one little bit. In fact, it's actually helping to facilitate it. Amen. I want to tell you Darren's story that he just shared on the phone with Janet this morning. Him and Bree are just recovering from a bit of a cold and that sort of thing and recovering well. But he went to the local supermarket. They needed to get some food and there was a lineup of people along in front of the supermarket waiting to get in. And typical, wonderful Darren, this is an opportunity to share the gospel. So he stood outside the line and he shared the gospel with people. People clapped. And then a group of people gathered around him because they wanted to hear more. I want to tell you, if there was ever a time in our nation where people will be open to the hope of the gospel, it's now. We're not getting out there with legalism and fear and talking about conspiracy theories. We're getting out with the gospel and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our message, not some other thing that's just going to be a distraction or a side issue. It's the gospel. It's the love of God. It's the fact that Jesus loves them and is very interested in them and wants to actually release a life flow to them that will not only bless their bodies but also bless their spirit eternally and bring them home. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Wherever you are, in your home groups, wherever, we're going to stand right now and we're going to pray. I've gone over time by quite a bit, but at the end of the day, I've got the microphone. And everybody else will just have to. You've got 40 minutes before 12 o'clock, so this has been a really short service, you know, by Living Waters Christian Center standards. But the home groups, you can just continue to do whatever you're led to do, and ministering and praying and worshiping, sharing. That'll be fantastic. Father, I want to thank you now for your beautiful people. I want to thank you for your people all through that are watching by live stream and all those under the sound of my voice, whether it's today or the days and weeks ahead, whether it's in New Zealand or in nations beyond. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I release your healing grace. I release your healing grace into every life. I release the power of the Holy Ghost into every life. I release the fire of God right now into every life. I release the power of God into every lounge room, into every place where people are watching and listening. I release the fire of God right now. I release the power of the Holy Ghost right now. I release the power that burns up every virus. I release the power that destroys every enemy. I release the power of God that destroys every enemy of God and every enemy of our soul. In Jesus' name, I release your Holy Ghost into every life, into every meeting, into every gathering right now in Jesus' name. Be empowered, be equipped, be inspired, be in love, be in faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to receive him right now. Pray after me, because when you pray this from your heart, something very powerful is going to happen to you. Jesus died for you because he loves you so much, and the reason he died for you is because you do not have the power to deal with your own sin to make yourself right with God. That is called self-righteousness, and it never works. There's nothing you can do to get right with God right now, but Jesus came so that he would die for you, take the weight of your sin on your behalf, so that that would never be a problem anymore, so that you can come back to the Father, become a son or daughter of God, receive the life of God into your being, and have eternal life from this moment forward. So I want to tell you, my friend, if you will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, if you would put your trust in what he's done for you, even if you only understand it that much, there's going to be a powerful thing happen in your life right now. You're going to come into the kingdom of God, and you're going to be eternally secure in his love. So pray after me if you're willing to do this. Jesus, I thank you that you are the Son of God, that you came from the Father, that you died for me so that all of my sin could be canceled out. Not only that, you died for my sicknesses and diseases, that the power of sickness and disease would be broken in my body. So right now, Lord, I confess that I've been a sinner and I receive your forgiveness now. Cleanse my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, I ask you to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for making me your child. Thank you for making me part of your great family. Help me grow in you. Fill me with your spirit now. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that with me today, I want to invite you to make contact with us. We'd love to help you grow. If you're in a small group or a home hub right now, just connect with the leader. They will help you grow. Welcome to the family. God bless you. We're so excited. We're going to sign off right now. And thank you for joining us. Join us again tonight. We've got Marion Mayle here. She's going to be interviewed from a wonderful apostolic ministry from Fiji. And she's going to be ministering and sharing her stories. She's going to build up your faith. It's going to be amazing. Join us at 7 o'clock. We're going to have more praise and worship, and then Marion Mayle will be interviewed and share. So join us then. You're welcome to come to the meeting, but we cannot cap over 100 people. So you're welcome to come to the meeting, but we cannot cap over 100 people. Once we hit 100, we have to stop you from coming in. That's a pity, but anyway, there we are. God bless you. Have an awesome life.